really what I'm going to share has a lot to do with what turned out to be the book Worshipper Warrior on the life of David. And it kind of dovetails into what I was going to share also. And that is that, you know, David is the guy in the Bible that there's more information about personally than any other person in all the Bible, even more than Jesus. And so what makes David so unique is you see so many of the human nature, highs and lows and brokenness of a man who's considered the only man in the Bible called a man after God's own heart. So I wrote the book Worshipper Warrior because I felt like that summed up his life. He was a worshiper and he was a warrior. And I don't have time to go into that particular thing because God's put something else on my heart for you guys this morning. But, you know, I would say this, that you really can't be a warrior until you first become a worshiper. And one of the biggest problems we have, I think, in evangelicalism is we have a lot of warriors, but they're not worshipers first. And so it's easy to become mean-spirited. It's easy to become legalistic. It's easy to become kind of hard toward things you disagree with when you're not in an intimate worshiping relationship with Christ. And so what you see with David is you see this warrior. We love 1 Samuel 17 where he goes out into the battle with Goliath, but we forget that he also wrote most of the Psalms because he was a song leader and a worship leader, right, Graham? And, you know, it was his heart. It was the tenderness of David's heart that gave him a passion to take on Goliath. And so that's a whole nother theme that we could talk about. But that's what the book's about. It's a devotional. It's a 21-day devotional. Takes you through chronologically the whole life of David from the very, very beginning when he's 13 years old all the way till the end. And you can get it on Amazon. And it's and I wrote it for men. So each chapter is really short. So and I have more and more women buying it for their men, and then they get into it. So I've actually thought about writing this again.
Pastor, hopefully you wrote it slowly too, because I don't read very fast.
That's right. Absolutely. But a lot of women have asked if I would consider redoing this for women. And I may do that. Maybe a pink camo on the front type look. But here's what God's put on my heart. I believe this is the most important thing I believe in a man's life as a believer. 6 years ago, I went through a really, really difficult time in my life, a time of betrayal, a time of shame, and a time of a sense of failure. I had built a church in my basement that had grown to over 3,000 people, and we were one of the largest churches in Colorado Springs and really moving out with a lot of cool stuff. And then there became an issue of a betrayal and a coup, as it were. And I went through a deep time of kind of depression. And you guys, if you've watched Forrest Gump, if you remember in the movie Forrest Gump, he wakes up one morning after Jenny has left him. Jenny was his love, if you remember that in the movie. And she leaves him, and he says, "I just got up, and I don't know why, but I just started running, and I just started running and running." And what happened to me was during this difficult time in my life, I started walking. And I just got up one day and just started walking and walking, and every day, 5-10 miles a day for 5 years, I just walked and walked, and I cried out to God. And I would come back. We live in the woods outside Colorado Springs on some acreage there. Jeff's been there. And I would come and I'd make a fire in the fire pit. And almost every day when I'd come back, there'd be some guys there. And they'd be sitting out by the fire waiting on me because they knew that I'd taken a walk. And they just would sit there and we would talk and we'd cry together and we'd share our hearts together. And we came up with this term, bloodstained allies. And these men saved me, really saved my life. And when you look at the life of David, and you see his relationship with Jonathan during a time when Saul is after him. And then you look at what happens when he has to run for his life and he goes to the cave of Adullam in 1 Samuel 22 and 400 men gather to him. Those were bloodstained allies. And I would argue that until a man has some bloodstained allies in his life, he's not going to reach his full potential in Christ. And I believe the number one struggle for men is isolation. I don't believe it's porn. I don't believe it's adultery. I believe it's isolation. And when you get isolated and you're not accountable and you're not able to share your heart and be vulnerable with some men, you really, really can get yourself in a difficult situation. And I want to challenge all you men out there that are listening that you need bloodstained allies. And I use that term, it really means a lot to me, the term bloodstained allies. And I want to just share quickly three things that I think are needed in some men and in our lives. Number one is bloodstained. And what I mean by that is that they've been bloodied by life themselves. They've been through struggles. They've been through shame. They've been through brokenness. And they're open about it. And they're vulnerable about it. And they have empathy for you because everybody goes through it. Before you guys all came on, Dave Eubanks was sharing. And, you know, and he mentioned that he wants to be a pure priest, but he's not. And it's true for all of us. And I think if we can realize that we're not, that's the beginning to becoming more pure in our life. And so, first of all, they're guys that are bloodstained. They know they're broken, and they recognize not necessarily you as their mentor, but you as their friend. And they're a friend there, and then you're on the same level, sharing your hearts with each other. Secondly, they're allies. And an ally is someone who has the same commander. And the same objective, but they also have the same enemy. And so it's not some colleague at work that you play tennis with. A bloodstained ally is someone that's a believer that loves Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And they're going after the Lord and seeking the kingdom first in their life. And so they're gonna push you and strengthen you in your walk with God, because in some areas they're stronger than you. And then in some areas, you're stronger than them. And so that bloodstained ally is going in the same direction with the same commander in chief. It's interesting that in the cave of Adullam, David became their commander. And in our case, Jesus is our commander. And then thirdly and lastly, I say stick-to-itiveness. That's a favorite word of mine. People who are stick-to-itive people, they don't cut and run. When the going gets tough, they're gonna watch your back. They're gonna be there for you. And so, men, you know, I hopefully first bloodstained ally is Jesus. Second bloodstained ally, it hopefully is your spouse. But third, you need some men. You need at least a couple men in your life that know you, that really will walk with you. They know you. They know your crap. You know, they know your brokenness, they know your weak areas, and they still love you. They still hang with you. And I'll tell you, I love this from Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 18:24 says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." So I challenge you, men, to, if you don't have bloodstained allies in your life, you need them. And it's the key to victory. It's the key to success. It's the key to prosperity in your life, because we're all going to go through difficult struggles. And many men, most Christian men have no one they can be vulnerable with about their weaknesses and their struggles. So I just bless you, encourage you to have some bloodstained allies in your life.